even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. What our brother has been saying has led us to think a little of this passage of Scripture in this 105th Psalm. I've enjoyed seeing a connection between some of these Psalms, 105 and 6 and 7. In 105, I believe we have brought before us a marvelous picture of the faithfulness of God. That seems to be the subject matter here. He doesn't actually dwell upon the sins or departure or breakdown of anyone, but it seems as though the faithfulness of God is marvelously displayed, particularly in connection with the nation of Israel. And then when we come to 106, we find that we have the other side of the same story. We have the human side of it. And we have an account in 106 of the failings, or the failings of the people, or the breakdown of these same people in spite of the faithfulness of God. Because, you know, there's always the divine side of things and the human side in most experiences, most lives and conditions. And that's what these two psalms seem to present to us. Now, Psalm 107, as we know, is the beginning of the fifth book of the Psalms, and it's another section of the book of the Psalms altogether. And yet, as you read part of that 107th Psalm, I believe we can see a blending of the two, of what we have in 105 and 106. It seems as though the two are blended together, and has led me to think of the fact that when we get to the other side, the whole picture is going to be a different story altogether. Just to trace the faithfulness of God in spite of my failings and shortcomings along the journey. We shall read the tender meaning of the sorrows and alarms when we trod the desert leaning on his everlasting arms. And so that these psalms seem to bring out these different features. But I was thinking of another point here in Psalm 105 is, there's somewhere around about 20 times when we find God is doing something. Now we read a few of them here, like in verse 16, he called for a famine. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them. And then further down, you'll find that in verse 21, he made him lord of his house. And further down in verse 24, he increased his people. 25, he turned their heart to hate his people. He sent Moses and so on. And we find God acting in his divine sovereignty in the lives of individuals, in the lives of nations. God is sovereign in all his actions. And yet he is producing and bringing forth that which is his divine will. That's what God is doing. And we can see this in some of these verses. But to look at Joseph for a few minutes here. First of all, the famine came. And it seemed to be general in that part of the world. It affected Canaan. And Joseph's brethren had to go down to Egypt for food. And of course, it affected Egypt too. But we find that in spite of that, God was working out his divine purpose, and it was all at that time centered in one man, mainly. Well, of course, I shouldn't just limit it to one, because God was working out his purposes for Joseph, but he was working out his purposes for Jacob as well. Remember the time when Jacob said, when these brethren, when the sons came back, he said, all these things are against me. Poor Joseph, poor Jacob, he was sure under a cloud, wasn't he? He didn't realize, if he could have seen them from heaven's standpoint, he'd have seen that all things work together for good to them that love God. He had lost all hope of ever looking on the face of Joseph again. And yet God was using this famine and all these things to bring this about, that he would see Joseph, and he would see Joseph's descendant to the third generation. And so we see the sovereignty of God and God's actions. But then he called for a famine. And then we find in verse 17, he sent a man before them. You know, it took Joseph maybe 22 years to learn that when he was taken so cruelly by those brethren of his and sold for silver down into the land of Egypt, you know, Joseph had to learn. He was brought into the school of God, and it took him years and years before he could say to those brethren years afterwards, God sent me before you to preserve life. And so he didn't know that he sent a man before them, that God sent Joseph down into Egypt. Men are responsible for their actions, but God is sovereign, and he acts according to the purpose of his own will. He sent a man before them, even Joseph. Now here he is, 17 years of age. It's remarkable that Joseph spent his first 17 years with his father. And later on, Jacob spent the last 17 years of his life with his son Joseph. So we see a balance in these things in the mind of God here. But who was sold for a servant. And we know the story well in Genesis. The injustice, why Joseph was envied by his brethren, it's true. But oh, we think of the malice, we think of the wickedness of an unscrupulous woman that put him down in the dungeon. Did that affect Joseph's outlook on things? We never hear, there's no record of a bitter word, there's no remonstrance, whatever. The only thing that comes near it at all is when he mentions the fact, I was sold into the land of Egypt. He makes a mention of it later on. Because every type of the Lord is imperfect. No type is perfect. The Lord was a perfect one. But it's marvelous how Joseph portrayed the Lord. And we never find bitterness in the man's soul. It just seems as though it wasn't there. I've often wondered, when Joseph did come next to the throne under Pharaoh, if he ever took it out on that woman or not. He could have if she was still living. He was in a higher position than the husband of that woman, and he could have dealt with her if he wanted to. But you know, there wasn't that bitterness in him. He was like the Lord Jesus. There was no bitterness in him. He didn't have that resentment. He was able to rise above his circumstances and see that this was all in the purpose of God, and he submitted to it. But then we think of what it says here in verse 18. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. The marginal reading says iron entered into his soul. You know, this was no picnic for Joseph. I'll tell you, it was suffering that very few could have borne. As he bore it, very few could have taken it. The iron entered into his soul. He felt the irony. Oh, he felt the cruelty of what was done to him. And yet he doesn't react against it. He takes it from God. He takes it from the hand of God. But you know, that word, the first word in verse 19 is most impressive. Until. Think of that word sometimes when you're under pressure. Think of that word when trials come, when testings come, when sorrows come. We were in the crucible for about 6 weeks a little while ago, but you know, we had the word of God to sustain us. And we didn't do what people suggested we ought to do, phone here and phone there and find out this and find out that. We had that word from God, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That was enough. But you know, the Lord has control of the crucible. He has control of the flame. He has control of the temperature of that crucible. And he has control of the time, how long you're going to be in it too. He has all that under his control. Until the time that his or God's word came. You see, God's divine purpose is coming, is working into the life of Joseph here. Until that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That word tried has the idea of refined. Sometimes the word tried has a number of shades of meaning, but here is the idea of being refined. The word of the Lord refined him. Did Joseph know that at the time? I believe perhaps he must have realized that God is permitting all this, and he accepted it and he took it. But wherever he was, it wasn't long until he gained the favor of those in whose power he was. There was that about his character. There was that about his person. And this is how he was tried. It was as to his person that he was being tried and tested. Now, Joseph was heading somewhere. Where was it? He was heading for the throne. That's what he had before him. He was heading for the throne. He didn't know all that was going to happen before he would get there. But we noticed here, the word of the Lord refined him. And it seems as though just when it got, as it were, to the highest point, and that man that should have recommended him to Pharaoh, he forgot all about him and let 2 long years go by. And then again, God worked. And God worked in those prisoners, and he made them dream. And here was Joseph to tell their dreams. But you know, God worked beyond that too. And then the very next word in verse 20, the king sent and loosed him. You know, it's wonderful how that the long history of those chapters in Genesis, in this psalm here, the high points are just taken out in a few words. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Why, he had his liberty. Just within an hour's time, he comes from the lowest point of servitude and subjugation to the very highest point in the land, next to Pharaoh himself. And so, brethren, we never need to be too much concerned about the circumstances of life. We can just leave them in God's hands, because he can turn the ladder upside down all in a moment. And that's what he's going to do someday. And so the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of all his house. Joseph was faithful in the house of Potiphar as a slave. He went about that menial tasks in everyday life faithfully, against the strongest opposition. Why didn't he protest? Why didn't he say, I'm being treated unjustly? Well, for one reason was this. He submitted to God, but at the same time, a slave had no personal rights. A slave had no redress. He couldn't object. That was the place of a slave. He just couldn't. He had no voice at all. He had to take whatever treatment he got. But anyway, he made him lord over his house and ruler of all his substance. And you know, brethren, when we're faithful in the little things, the Lord is going to commit greater things to us. He's going to commit more to us. But faithfulness in that which is little is going to bring greater responsibility. When we're fitted for it, when we react in the right manner, when we submit to God's dealings, then we'll find that he's going to commit more to our care. So he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure. and to teach his senators wisdom. Why Joseph could use force and power if he wanted to, or he could use wisdom and discretion by teaching the senators wisdom. Why Joseph showed that he had it. He had passed through those many years. And you know, I believe there was about 22 years of his life from the time he was sold into Egypt until he had the joy of seeing his father again. And we notice, not only so, but we find in verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt. And it's an interesting thing to notice when you get the two words, Israel and Jacob, here. And I think the word Israel perhaps refers to Jacob's whole household at that time. And then Jacob personally, Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Now, you know, the sojourning of the children of Israel, as we read in Exodus 12, was about 400 years. Usually, God dates things, or God refers to when they terminate, not so much when they begin, but when they terminate. And that sojourning terminated with 430 years, really. And that, tracing it backwards, takes you back to Genesis chapter 15. Abraham sojourned in the land of Canaan, and he had Isaac and Jacob as those who shared with him in that sojourning. And then they went down into Egypt. And it seems as though the time is really about equally divided. 215 years of servitude, or sojourning rather. 215 years of sojourning and 215 years of servitude down in Egypt, making the 430 years. But be that as it may, and then in verse 24, this is God again acting. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. If you take the numbering of the people of Israel that went down into Egypt and figure it out in the basis of the large families that they had, they could very easily, as they did, reach a number of 3 million people at the end of that servitude. Quite easily, from 70 to 3 million, very, very easily. No hardship about it, whatever. There's no generations need to be dropped out. And so that God increased his people greatly. And then he reacted in a different way in verse 25. He turned their heart, that is the Egyptians, he turned their heart to hate his people and to deal subtly with his servants. You see, God is going to bring about their deliverance now. He brings them into servitude, first of all, there in the crucible. And then when the time comes, we find in verse 26, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And we know the result of that as well. Oh, brethren, you know, God is moving in the history of nations. He's moving in the personal history of each one of us. We have our responsibilities as to how we act to trials and testings, but Joseph was heading for the throne, and he had to go through all this, but he proved that he was the only fit man to be in the place where God placed him. There wasn't another man that could have taken the place under Pharaoh and governed the land with wisdom and discretion. Why, we think of how he treated his brethren when they came down. He kept himself hidden from them. He could understand, he knew everything they said in his hearing. They didn't know that. And he dealt with them in such marvelous wisdom until repentance was wrought in them. And then, just at the right moment, he made himself known to them. Brethren, he'll show himself through the lattice. He'll make himself known to us just when we're in the right condition.